An individual said to me once, I keep praying to God about my problems. I go to God, but it doesn't seem like it helps. My problems are still here. I'm still dealing with the same problems over and over again. And it makes me wonder, does God really care? Or even worse, does God even hear my prayers? And if he does, why doesn't he answer them? When I heard that, I was... People come up to you sometimes and kind of stall you with questions or comments that they said. One individual said, is God cursing me? And I just looked at him and I said, what do you mean? He said, well, my wife died of cancer. My daughter died of cancer. My oldest son died of cancer. And now my youngest son was just diagnosed with cancer. Is God cursing me? And I said, well, I don't think God's cursing you. I just think something in your hereditary of your family has caused cancer to go through your family. But I don't have cancer. Why didn't he take me? He took the whole family. Why didn't he take me? He could have spared my whole family and taken me. Why didn't God hear my prayer? When individuals approach you like that, and it's hard to answer an individual in an answer that is very, very positive, because we don't know why God allows suffering. We understand sometimes it's for our good, but it's extremely hard when people are suffering greatly and dealing with adverse conditions. Now, we read scriptures in the Bible, like we can look over here and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you can turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 13. And people say, they refer to this scripture, it says, there is no temptation taken unto you that is common unto man. But God is faithful, and he is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And that is a true statement. The Bible is true when it says that. But you know, sometimes when we beseech God and we go before God and ask in dealing with a problem, or in this situation it says a temptation, God knows what you're capable of handling. But sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is no. And we question why. If God says that there's no temptation that we can't, weren't able to bear, and that we can escape, then God should say yes. Not no, he should say yes. But brethren, we don't always understand why sometimes the answer is no. So if you want a title for today's sermon, why does God say no, and how do we deal with it? What then? What then? If God says no, what then? That's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about sometimes the answer is no. Now, this is not a downer. This is not a downer, because I want to encourage you that even when God says no, there is some positive results here. There are some extremely positive results. I mentioned about individuals who are facing trials, and it says that there's no trial that we can't be able to bear, and that's true. And some people are put through tremendous trials. I mentioned about the one man who lost his entire family, or was in the process of losing his last son to cancer, and he's questioning, is God cursing me? And I had to discuss this with him, and I told him, I said, I don't think God's cursing you. I said, I think it's a matter of genetics, that your family all went through cancer in their cells. I tried to encourage him. It's hard when an individual is looking at it from a negative perspective, when they're looking at it that perhaps God's cursing me, or God doesn't hear my prayers because I prayed for my family and I wanted them to be healed. And why didn't God take me? Why did he take my family? And those are tough situations to deal with and dealing with people. But there is a purpose in all things, and we don't always understand. God does hear and answer prayers. I want to encourage each and every one of you to understand that. So even when he says no, he is answering your prayers. And that doesn't make it that God is not hearing your prayers. The answer sometimes is no. And so we do sometimes question, why, God? I've asked you to heal me, or I've asked you to heal individuals that we know personally, but you chose no. Why? Well, many of us seen loved ones die, and we can relate to that here in our own local congregations, ones that we know personally that have died. Even after we earnestly prayed for them, many times we prayed for them for weeks at a time. We've also seen illnesses drag on for long periods of time, and that's a very painful situation to deal with individuals. We've seen individuals lose their job and can't find work. There's two young fellows in the York congregation. They've been trying to find work for not even months, might even been years now, as time has gone by. They're just having a hard time finding work, and they've been praying to God and asking God, please help me find work. And I've prayed for him, and I'm sure others have prayed for him. And it appears the answer is no, not yet. So they have to continue to wait patiently and endure. It's difficult when you don't have income coming in. Unfortunately, they're young. They don't have a lot of bills, he said, so they can survive. They're living at home with families. And so they're making it through it. They're dealing with it. But they want to have their own life. They want to be employed. They want to have income to be able to provide for their needs. There are individuals that are struggling with living conditions. I mentioned about Deb. She lives on a wonderful farm in Port Treverton, Mount Pleasant Mills area. Mount Pleasant Mills? Okay. It's right on that border, Port Treverton, Mount Pleasant Mills. Wonderful view. I went to visit with her, look out across the field and look and see the mountain ridges, and it's just a wonderful location. And the sad thing, it's been polluted. It's been polluted because of Agent Orange. And so she's living with conditions. Now, God could have taken that Agent Orange and blew it away, and God could have answered her prayer, and then she could have avoided getting contact with Agent Orange, and she could have been healed. But again, conditions, living conditions is another example. What about the food? I talked about food. Some people don't have enough clothing to fit their needs, and so they pray to God and ask for help. They pray for relief from trials, and many individuals go through severe trials, trials that are very testing of our faith and what we deal with. But in the process of dealing with all these conditions, healing conditions, lacking of food sometimes, lacking of jobs, opportunities, dealing with adverse conditions, living conditions, sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is no. And that's hard. That is hard, brother. I don't want to downplay that any more than I need to. No is tough to deal with. But I'm going to reverse this now for just a few minutes, just to think about, what if God always said yes? And we go, yahoo! God says yes to everything I want. I see this beautiful house, and I really would like that house. I'm going to pray to God, and maybe God will say yes. So he prays to God, and God says, yes, I will give you the house. So he gets this wonderful, beautiful house. And then he says, now I can't afford the taxes on this house. So I'm going to pray to God and ask him if he'll provide the resources to pay the taxes on the house. So he goes in prayer and he says, God, I need money to pay the taxes on this new house that you gave me. And God says, yes. So he gives him the money to pay the taxes. Then he says, God, I need a car. I got to have a car to get to work. So he prays to God, and God says, yes. And he gives him a car. So he drives the car for a while, and suddenly he starts having mechanical problems. So he goes to God, and he says, God, I need a car that's more reliable, so I need another car. And God says, yes, and gives him another car. Now he has two cars, one that's in the garage needing mechanical work, and now he has a brand new car. So then he says, God, I need more money. I have a car payment on a car that's in the garage, but I can't afford that payment, and I have a brand new car you just provided, and you got to give me more money. I need more money to pay my bills. And God says, yes. You see where this is going? If God always said yes to all our prayers, we would not have faith in God. We would lose faith in God, because all we would have to do is pray to God and say, God, hear my prayer, answer my prayer, yes. And God would answer yes. But God doesn't always answer yes. And we can learn valuable lessons when God says no. Valuable lessons for each and every one of us. So if God always said yes, what would happen? First of all, we wouldn't need to trust in anything else but God. And that's a good thing. Yes, that is a good thing. Trusting in God is very, very important. But if you trust in God because of your own personal gain, you don't have faith. If you know that God was always going to answer yes, you would lose faith. You would eventually lose faith. You would no longer trust in God because you know God's going to answer all your prayers yes. So when it comes down to when God says no, it is an opportunity for spiritual growth. And it is a challenge. The Bible says, when Christ returns, will he find faith on the earth? You remember that scripture? I feel that there will be faith on the earth. It's obvious that there will be the faithful that will endure to the end. And so there will be faith on the earth. But brethren, I think many individuals' faith will be shaken as time progresses. When God says no to certain situations, I think individuals will possibly lose faith. See, God doesn't hear my prayer. I prayed about this and he doesn't answer. He says no. And they lose their faith. They turn away from God. And they start trusting in themselves. And they start making things work out for themselves. And things get worse and worse and worse for that individual. And since sometimes individuals say, God's cursing me sometimes. And they look at different ways of approaching it. But the end result, brethren, is their faith is shaken when God says no. And it can happen to any one of us. Whenever we face a severe trial, something that we ask God and beseech God, and we suddenly realize the answer is no. How are you going to handle that? That's the most important question. Yes, it's important. What do we do when God says no? Then what? But even more important is the question, how do we handle it? How do we handle when things are no? What if God says you can eat anything you want? I mentioned about if he said yes, and a person says, well, boy, I like pork. Pork chops, they sound good. And God lets them eat pork. It's not for our good. God put it in the Bible to let us know that pork is not for our good. And so he does say, don't eat pork products, or you'll suffer the consequence. You see what I'm saying here? When God says no, he's actually doing it for our good. We don't always understand that. You say, well, it tastes good, it smells good, but it's not healthy for us. And God did not ever intended us to eat the pork products. And that's just one example of no in the Bible. We're going to talk a little bit about situations in the Bible for our spiritual grace and knowledge, of growing in grace and knowledge. In short, if God always said yes, we wouldn't need to develop any character. We would just rely strictly on God, and he would provide for all our needs. But again, sometimes the answer is no, and it's for our spiritual growth. Let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. There was an 8 there. It's the one in front of the 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. How do we grow in grace and knowledge? By studying God's word and realizing that there will be times when God will say no. And he did. There's examples in the Bible of individuals who had to say no. One of the ones that we sometimes read about is over in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse chapter 11. Now, I'm not going to go into full detail about that. I'm just going to kind of highlight it here a little bit to you. You can write that in your notes and follow up and read about it. It's David. We all know about David. David was in his kingdom, and he was walking around and apparently up in the balcony area, and he saw a woman bathing. And he was observing and watching, and he developed lust towards the woman. So he had the woman, which was Bathsheba, we understand that, had a relationship with her. She became pregnant. Now her husband comes back from serving some military time, and he confronts David, and David tries to cover up the sin that David committed. So he tries to get the husband to go back to the wife so that he could possibly get her pregnant, and then it would not fall on David's shoulders. Nobody would suspect that David got her pregnant. But it didn't work that way. God had another plan here. Her husband decided, no, I will not go back to my home, not as long as the soldiers are out in the field fighting. I will stay here at the kingdom and wait there at the kingdom. Well, David knew he was in trouble now. David said, uh-oh, okay, plan A is not working. So he's taking things into his own hands. So he talks to the guard and he says, take her husband, put him in the front of the battle, and make sure that eventually he gets killed. So now David commits another sin. Another sin. And that happens. The husband, or the father in situation there, he dies. Now David takes the wife. He takes possession. She's pregnant. She's expecting child. She has the child. The child is born. But suddenly the child becomes sick and is not doing very well. Here's where the answer no comes in. God cannot accept sin and say yes to it. David committed sin, and the child suffered. But David knew that perhaps God would cause mercy upon the child. David knew he had sinned. He had repented. He had fasted for 7 days on behalf of not only his sins, but also for the child, the boy that was born sick. After 7 days, the child died. So the answer was no. And David learned a valuable lesson there. We suffer consequences, but sometimes God cannot answer yes in situations like that. He could have let the child live. It wasn't the child's fault, but the child was conceived in sin. And so he had to show David that he had sinned, and he had to say no to David's request in prayer on behalf of the child. Brethren, it's lessons like that that we learn tremendous understanding that God, out of his mercy, out of his love and compassion for each and every one of us, watches us. He observes us. He knows that we're frail. He knows that we're weak. Just like David committed sin and God was not pleased. And the end result, he had to take the child. The child ended up dying. We learn valuable lessons from receiving no as an answer to our prayers. Now I want to talk about four reasons why God might say no to us. Four reasons why God may say no to us. And there's examples in the Bible of some of these reasons. The first one's found over in, let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We'll look at verse 7. And I want to refer to this because some people have said if we go to God in prayer, he will hear our prayers, and he does. And I don't want to downplay that all prayers are no, because we know that God does hear our prayers. But in Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, ask and you shall be, it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeks receives, and everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks shall be opened. So you would think, yes, God will say yes, because we ask, we seek, and we knock at the door. requesting. But brethren, that's a little bit misleading. God's intention is for our good, and He wants to say yes. And He will say yes to many of our prayers. But if He looks at the prayer and He sees it's not for our good, the answer may be no. And so that doesn't mean He didn't fulfill the scripture. It doesn't mean that we asked and beseeched Him and we prayed about it and the answer was no. And see, so why should we pray anymore? Well, point number one I want to emphasize is sometimes we don't ask enough. We go to God in prayer on our behalf, seeking God and asking maybe once, maybe twice, and then we moved on. We forgot about that situation and just moved on. And God, I think, watches to see if we're willing to ask more than maybe once or twice. Are we willing to ask more? There's an example over in Luke, and I find this example is encouraging. Now, it's not encouraging to the judge in relationship with this. Luke chapter 18, we'll look at verse 1. Now, this is a parable, and I think Jesus emphasizes very strongly because sometimes we don't ask enough. That's the point that I want to emphasize. Sometimes we don't ask enough. And here is a parable. It says, Luke chapter 18, verse 1, "And He spoke a parable unto them to the end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. But he would not for a while." But notice, verse 4, "But afterward he said unto himself, Though I don't fear God," he didn't reverence or fear God at all, "nor regard any man." He didn't care about any man at that time because he was a judge. He was a high authority. So he could say what he wanted to say. But notice in verse 5, "Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continuing coming will weary me." I think there was a purpose in there that God was telling us we don't always ask enough. Sometimes God wants to say yes, but He wants to see if we're willing to continue to ask. So it may be, not yet. Not yet. I want to say yes. And maybe He will say yes. But He may also be saying, not yet. Now, if He's saying not yet, and we don't continue to beseech Him, asking, then sometimes I think we don't ask enough. And God says, okay, well, if they are not willing to continue, then maybe the answer turns from yes to no for character developing, for learning, whether we will continue to beseech God time and time and time again. Just like this parable, I think that's very, very encouraging for us to realize that this widow, she kept coming to the judge and kept besieging and kept asking, and finally he got so weary and tired of it, he finally said yes to her. Well, I think sometimes God is waiting to hear what we have to say. And here it says in verse 7, "And shall not God," in verse 7, "avenge His own elect, which cries day and night unto Him, though He bears long with them?" So God does wait sometimes, and He listens as we cry out to God time and time and time again of the same requests, night after night, it says. And then He does bear long with us. And sometimes I think the wait to see, are we going to have faith in Him? Are we going to trust in Him? Are we going to say, well, I prayed to God and He didn't answer my prayer, so apparently it's no. I think sometimes we just have to keep asking until the answer is no, or maybe, or yes. So the parable of the pleading widow, persistent widow, as she was classified as a persistent widow, I think it's something for all of us to learn, a very valuable lesson. Another reason to be persistent is because sometimes when we answer our prayer, it's sometimes not now. We face trials sometimes and we ask for healing. And sometimes God says, not now, not yet. And so individuals go through long periods of healing, of not being healed, and requesting to be healed. And so because of that, again, we have to keep asking. That's why we have prayer requests in announcement time for these individuals who are suffering terrible healing conditions that need to be healed about. A 7-month-old child, a 33-year-old man. It's not always the elderly that we pray for. And many times we do pray for the elderly because unfortunately as we get older, our physical body breaks down. And so we do need to pray for the elderly. But many times there are young people in the congregations that we need to pray for. And we not need to keep asking and keep asking, just like the widow kept persisting. We also have to be like her. We have to keep besieging God until God answers our prayers. And if it's yes, and we hear about wonderful healings, and we can all relate to healings, even in our own congregation, we know of individuals who have been healed. And the answer was yes. But we also know for some individuals, the answer was no. And they had passed on. They had died. Why? Well, sometimes I think when we look at the perilous times that are coming, individuals may not be able to face those perilous times if they're not feeling well or they're struggling with conditions. And sometimes I think God says, I'm going to answer your prayer. No, I'm not going to heal the individual, but I am going to take them and wait for the kingdom to come. And they will be waiting for the kingdom to come. And so in one sense, the answer is yes. He waits for them for the kingdom to come, but maybe no to the healing. And either way, the individual's healed. Either way. They weren't healed physically, but hopefully in the kingdom, as we look forward to it, they will be healed spiritually as well. So, brethren, sometimes I think we just don't ask enough. And we got to keep asking and keep asking and keep asking until we definitely get an answer. Whether it's yes to our rejoicing, not yet, we endure and keep besieging, or no, and then we have to go on. Now a second area, and this is referred over in James. Let's look over in James. James chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 3. It says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. Now I find that interesting. It says you ask, which is what we want to do. We want to ask. We do besiege, but we receive not. Because we receive, we ask amiss. I find that very interesting. If we ask God for things that aren't good for us, and we do that sometimes. I mentioned an example of individuals who knew that the answer was yes all the time. And so they kept asking for physical things, possession. You notice sometimes individuals don't ask for, God, give me more of your spirit. When they start asking amiss, they start looking more inward, not towards character-wise, but physical things. For selfishness, for unnecessary things sometimes they beseech God. For personal gain. Individuals have prayed to God for personal gain. God, just give me riches and I'll bless everybody I know. And God says no sometimes because he knows it's not for their good. Individuals may start out with good intentions. God is likely to say no because he knows their hearts. He knows what their real inner feelings are, what their motives were. So sometimes we do ask amiss. We ask for our own personal gain. We ask for selfish things. Things that benefit us and not necessarily benefit others. Have you ever prayed out and asked for personal things for your own personal gain? I think we've all experienced that sometime in our life, desiring physical things and beseeching God and asking him for some of those physical things. And sometimes God does answer our prayers and says yes. And we rejoice and we're so thankful and we're always giving praise to God. But what happens when God says no? But God, I need that. I want that. But he says no. But God, I would pray to you every day if you give it to me. individuals have said, Dad, I find that interesting. Pray every day. That's what we're supposed to do. But if God, if you would give me this, it's almost like bribing God now. God, if you will give me this, then I'll pray every day to you. And I will praise you and thank you for everything you've given me. You see where it becomes a miss, where we miss the situation? Our prayers to be effective, we have to have faith. We have to have faith that even when God says no, it's for our good. There's a purpose for that. And when we pray, we have to believe that God will answer in one form or another, whether it's yes, not yet, or no. It says over in Matthew 21, I'm going to look at verse 21 and 22. Now this is a scripture that Jesus says over in Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, which he set the example of the fig tree, but ye shall say unto this mountain, be you moved, and it shall be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Now that's tremendous faith, to be able to do that. And all these things whatsoever you ask of in prayer, believe, and you shall receive. So we do have to go in prayer expecting the answer to be yes. But what happens when the answer is no? When God looks at our heart and he realizes this is not good for him or for her, and I'm not going to answer yes, I'm going to answer no. Do you lose faith? Do you give up on God? You say, God doesn't hear my prayers anymore. I asked for situation and it was not answered. God sometimes watches how we handle prayers that are answered in no category. He watches, he observes. Are we going to lose faith? Are we going to give up on God? Do we ask amiss? If so, when we pray, we need to pray with the expectation that God hears our prayers, number one. But number two, if the answer is no, what's going to happen to you? How are you going to deal with it? Are you going to accept no? Or are you going to continue to persist? But I need this. I want this. God's going to watch and see, and sometimes we ask because we ask amiss. Third area, and this is an area that a lot of times individuals will really be put through severe trials and tests. When God says no, he tests our faith and see if we're committed. When God says no, he tests our faith and see if we're committed. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. For now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're supposed to go in faith, praying to God. If the answer was always yes, we would not need faith. We would just wait it out. Till God said yes. But if the answer is no, what happens? What happens to us? Do we continue to beseech God like we, the first point, continue to ask? And we should. We should continue to ask until we see the results. Do we ask amiss, or are we always thinking only of ourselves and only of our own personal gains? Or do we use the word no when God answers no in our prayers and grow in faith and commitment to God? That's the real question that we have to address sometimes. When we receive no to our prayer, and there are individuals that we love very dearly that have died in the faith, and the answer was no, he did not heal them, but they will be in God's kingdom. And so, yes, in some ways, he did answer yes. He took their lives. But when we see individuals that die, doesn't that encourage you that they will be in God's kingdom? You know them personally. We know of individuals personally who have died in the faith. And that can strengthen our faith, even when God says, no, he's not going to heal the individuals, but rather, I'm going to test your faith and test your commitment. Will you endure to the end? Will you continue to face the trials and continue to trust in me? Now, it's interesting. The Apostle Paul, which is one of the apostles in the Bible, a great leader, a powerful man. But over in 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll look at verse 7. I'm over in first. I got to keep turning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sorry, my bifocals don't always match up with the with my Bible here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Now Paul, it says, was dealing with a condition. And we feel it was his eyes. He was struggling with his eyes. And he besieged God here, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation," I'm looking at verse 7, "there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh." Now we feel that thorn in the flesh was probably his eyes, because he struggled with reading. "The messenger of Satan to buffer me that I should be exalted above measure." And notice, and we'll continue, verse 8. "For this thing I beseech the Lord three times." So he didn't just go once and say, "God, will you please heal me?" And then when he didn't get the healing, he just quit. He didn't ask enough. Or because he was only asking for himself, that God's answer was no. I feel it was a test of faith to see if he would continue to be faithful. It says that I might depart, that it might depart from me. So he asked God three times to take this suffering away from me. And notice in verse 9, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So what did it do? It actually strengthened his faith. Paul's faith was strengthened, even though he had a weakness here. And he did do what was right. He went to God, beseeching God in prayer, asking several times, as many as three, it says here. So even individuals like Paul sometimes are giving tests of faith and commitment. Brethren, we all will be facing trials in our lifetime. None of us know what trials we're going to be facing. And these trials will be trials of faith sometimes and commitment. How are you going to handle a trial or faith if God says no to your request in prayer? Will you continue to be faithful and say, "God, your will be done," and trust in him? Or will you say, well, "God, you don't hear my prayers anymore"? Will we lose faith? I feel there will be faith at the end time when Christ returns, but I think some will lose faith. When the answer is no for some people, then they blame God. "God, you didn't hear my prayer. I asked and you didn't hear me." And some people lose faith. "God's not hearing me anymore," and they turn away from God. Some people have actually turned away completely from God. Not only do they lose faith, but they lose commitment. And they're no longer being faithful and enduring to the end. Trials will test us. Trials that are negative, that are tough. We all know many of us face very difficult trials. But it's an opportunity that can make and strengthen us. We have to endure to the end, brethren, even when God says no to some of our prayers. One other area, and this is interesting that I feel, when God says no, people are watching. Not only is God watching, and I've said, it's his desire to say yes, but sometimes he has to say no. People are watching, and it sets an example for others when God says no to us. Remember when I talked about David and the little boy died? People were watching. They were watching David. He fasted. And they observed, and they tried to give him food, and he wouldn't eat. He abstained from food. He prayed for 7 days. Suddenly he started eating. After the child dies, and they question, "Well, when the child was living, you fasted. Why? And now that he's died, you're eating." It didn't make sense to those that were observing and watching. But he said, David said to them, "If it was God's will, he would heal the child. And so I beseech God for the benefit of the child." When God said no, he had to go on with his life. And so David did go to eat. So they learned a tremendous lesson from David, observing that. And we can too. When we see individuals receiving no for an answered prayer, and we know many individuals, the answer was no. In retrospect to healing, in this situation, these two young fellows that are still looking for work. Right now the answer is no, they haven't found work yet. That doesn't mean that it's going to continue no, but we can learn a valuable lesson. Will they continue to be faithful? Will they continue to endure and be committed? Will all of us be faithful and be committed? When we face no as an answered prayer or request, what a tremendous lesson that we can all learn, not only from David's example or from the widow's example or from other Paul's example, but from each and every one of us. We can all learn from each and every one of us. How do we deal with no? We've seen individuals who suffered through trials maintain a wonderful attitude. I can think of many individuals who are dealing with severe trials, and they kept wonderful, positive attitudes. Trials that I looked at and I started thinking, wow. I mentioned about different individuals. And it can be encouraging to us. If they can face these trials when God's not answering yes, and they're suffering and they're dealing with adverse conditions, that's wonderful. That is wonderful and encouraging for each and every one of us. Sometimes, though, we have to suffer consequences because of sin. I mentioned about David's consequence, that he lost his child. Sometimes, when we go and set that example, individuals will watch and observe how we deal with conditions. And those conditions I find very, very interesting, because when people are watching us, they grow in faith too. If we remain faithful and are strong and are committed, this encourages others to be faithful and strong and committed. And so by watching us dealing with adversity, with no as an answer, it strengthens others' individuals. You would think it would be the opposite. You'd say, well, wow, his prayer wasn't answered. That means he's not close to God. That means God's not hearing him. No, the answer is not yet, maybe, or even if it is no. God knows what is best for each and every one and what is good. And so when we do face trials and situations where it does test our faith and it does have other individuals watching and observing us, it's a strengthening opportunity and it's a growing opportunity. God shows us through his trials and those around us that we can be in his kingdom no matter what. It's his desire that we all be in his kingdom, even when God says no to our physical trials that we're dealing with. We still can grow. We can still learn from others. So it's a wonderful opportunity. Brethren, God wants us in his family. That's the ultimate. This physical life is temporary, and we will face difficult trials. Trials that sometimes the answer is no. And the important question is, how do we deal with it? How do we deal with the answer no, when we are faced with no? We must keep in mind that God always knows what's best for each and every one of us. And that sometimes he has to say no to us. He wants to say yes, as much as possible. It's his desire to say yes. And he will say yes when he knows it's best for us and what's good for us. But we also got to keep in mind that he also knows that there's times he has to say no. So, brethren, the promises are all there. You can read Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where it says, "All things work together for those who love God, And it is for our good, brethren, even when he says no. But I want to leave you with four more scriptures. I'm going to read them quickly because of time. And I want to emphasize growing in grace and knowledge. I want to emphasize that. And being contented, even when the answer is no. Being contented. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 to 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 6 to 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Brethren, even when God says no to us, we need to learn to be contented and accept no as the answer. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we're going to carry nothing out with us. that sometimes people seek wealth and they get so many desires of possession. I mentioned about we ask amiss for personal gain, and we get so wrapped up in the physical things. But we're not taking them with us. When we die the physical death and we're changed spiritually, we're not taking these physical things with us. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. So I want to encourage, brethren, even when God says no to us, let's be contented and accept no. But let's also grow in grace and knowledge and understanding of God's way. And let's seek and desire to become more like Him. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. I want to refer to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We'll look at verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18. Behold that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor. So it's God's desire that we enjoy life. All the efforts that we put forth, that he provide the food, the drink, and the enjoyment of life, the labor that he takes under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him. And it's a blessing from God. It is his portion. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth, and has given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. So we need to be contented with simple things sometimes. Just the physical things that we need, our bodies, the raiment, and the clothing that we need, the portions of our life. It says, for he shall not in so much remember the days of his life, because God answered him in the joy of his heart. So God does answer in the joy of his heart. He wants to give us the good things in life. But sometimes he does have to say no, and we have to learn to be contented with sometimes just the physical things, the necessary things in life. Philippians chapter 4. We'll look at verse 11. Now, sometimes in life, we're told over in Philippians 4, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned to whatever state that I am to be contented. And I want to emphasize again, contented. We need to grow in grace and knowledge to be faithful and committed to God's way of life, but we also need to learn to be contented. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. And there are times when the answer is no, it may be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So the point is that we want to emphasize, we can't do it ourselves. When God says no, we can't take, okay, plan B, I'm going to do this. God is watching us. Are we going to be faithful to Him? Are we going to be willing to continue to ask? Not maybe once or twice, but maybe continue to ask a lifetime of situations. Or do we ask amiss? Sometimes we make a mistake. And we only ask for physical things. And we don't beseech God enough in that respect. When God says no to us, do we lose faith? Do we stop trusting in Him and saying, God's not hearing my prayers anymore? And we lose faith and we lose our commitment to God. And does our example, when God says no to us, does our example encourage others? There are times it will. When God says no to us, it can be encouraging to others because they watch. Is he going to be faithful or is he going to give up on God because God said no to him? These are all tests, examples that God will sometimes say no and watch and observe and see, are we willing to be faithful? Brethren, when we do make it through our trials, when we do get a final answer, and sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is not yet, and sometimes the answer is no. And when the answer is no, and we face that trial, whatever it will be, we have to realize it's for our best. It's for our best. And God knows what's good for us. Even when we want it dearly, we have to say, your will be done, and accept it, and go on. That's not easy, brethren. It's not easy to accept no. But God knows he wants us in his kingdom, and he knows that we must grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. We must be faithful to him, endure to the end. And that's going to be some perilous times coming, brethren. It's not going to be a picnic. And I don't mean to scare anyone, but you got to face the circumstances that are coming. Our nation has turned from God. It has turned totally in trusting and relying in itself. And a nation that turns away from God will lose its blessings. And if we're not careful as a nation, if we don't repent and change, the perilous times that will come will test the faith of each and every one of us. And if God says no to you in anything that you request, how are you going to handle it? How are you going to deal with it? God's watching. Others are watching and observing, and how we deal with the answer no. Brethren, the rejoicing thing is the kingdom of God is yes. He wants us all in his kingdom. And when we continue to endure and trust and commit in faith and commitment, he knows that we will accept no, even when he tells us no, for our good, and that we will be in his kingdom. And that is the ultimate yes for each and every one of us. I mentioned one more scripture. I'm just going to refer to it. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. These are all encouraging scriptures for us to read about. And even again, brethren, we all know that there will be times when God will say no.
For the last hymn today, if you'd all please rise with your hymnals and turn to page 175, Onward Christian Soldiers, page 175. After this, we'll have the closing prayer by Mr. Dennis Wilhite.